So the Astros are in a battle for the number one overall spot in baseball. The Texans made some moves, finally. Although I would have made better moves. We'll talk about that. And there's a big hurricane out in the Pacific Ocean. This is Tadatus.
So you're you feel like you'd have made some better moves than the Texans made?
Hashtag.
I mean, they went for it, right?
Nick P, Texans GM 2020. Yeah. Trying to get that started.
Yeah. Right on.
Hashtag.
No, I mean, like, they went for it, though, right? I mean, whether you feel like you'd like to have Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney or not, you know, like, he was pretty much forcing himself out of there.
Sure, he did.
And you needed a left tackle, and you got a good one, apparently.
Yeah.
You also got another weapon on offense, so you made some moves.
We just gave up a bunch of picks. But
a whole lot of picks, and they didn't have any picks to get in.
No, yeah, so we kind of went all in on this year. And
do you like that?
Here, I'll tell you what I do like. I like the fact that Laremy Tunsil is a Texans left tackle, and Deshaun Watson doesn't have a cardboard box watching his blind side.
This guy's supposed to be really good.
He is.
I don't know nothing about NFL offensive linemen to go, yes, I've seen this guy's footwork.
Laremy Tunsil, 2 years ago, was drafted out of Ole Miss. He was a college All-American. I want to say he was either second or third overall pick. He was one of the first tackles. Might have been the first tackle taken that year. Tunsil, he's a big guy, big deal. Big, strong left tackle. We got Carlos Hyde. We got Kenny Stills. We got a couple of linebackers.
Okay, how do you feel about the Texans running back situation minus Lamar Miller and Carlos Hyde and who else did they get?
Duke Johnson.
Yeah, Duke Johnson. Do you like the Duke Johnson move? People seem to like that guy.
I don't know. I feel the same about both of them. How about that?
Not good enough, right?
It's okay.
What about Shady McCoy? You going after him? Doesn't sound like the Texans.
Shady's kind of with the Chiefs.
Oh, we said that already the other day, didn't we?
Yep.
I forgot we talked about that.
Chiefs went ahead and picked him up. He's back with Andy Reid.
Good for him. Because that team's really good. The Texans, although, how do you feel about Bill O'Brien being the de facto GM now?
First of all, it's just wrong because I should be the GM.
Well, I understand that, but what I'm saying is, like, because you haven't been selected quite yet.
Right.
You seen your resume over there yet? By the way, have you sent that?
I tried. I want to pause the Texans for just a second, Josh, because we dove right into this, but we failed to mention that this is Tadatus, episode 29.
Oh yeah, right.
Let's taking a dump and thinking about shit. Nick and Josh, where we solve the world's problems. You can find us on the web at Facebook, Twitter, Google Play, Apple, iTunes, and Stitcher, all at Tadatus and Tadatus Pod, right?
It's Tadatus at most of it, and then Tadatus Pod on Twitter.
And, of course, Tadatus.com.
That's the best place. That's where the action happens.
Right. So if you don't know...
if you don't know, now you
know. The Texans do not have a GM, and I attempted to go on their website and also through LinkedIn to see if they had posted the general manager spot.
Like, you just want to send your resume right through LinkedIn.
I was trying.
Yeah.
Worth a shot, right?
Well, I mean, come on. They want to open it up
there.
To...
It wasn't
there. What do you think makes a good GM, Nick?
Clearly, championship pedigree.
Which you clearly have.
Clearly.
The championships. I've seen your trophy case.
That's right.
It is impressive.
3 times in a row in this league, been to the finals. Two-time champion. Three times there.
Yeah.
Four-time champion.
He knows how to get there, and he knows how to...
manage the team to win, baby.
Yeah.
That's it. Nick That's B. Right. Hashtag Nick B. Texans GM 2020.
Brilliant drafting skills. That's what most of it is.
And like we talked about, I'll spend most of my Sunday playing golf while they... lock it down.
Yeah, you surround yourself with the best guys and then let those guys do all the hard work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's
just silly. Oh, I love
that's
it.
That's an Einstein quote or something.
Yeah, exactly. It might have been Eleanor Roosevelt.
I should do that with the accent. First. All right, so Texans made a bunch of moves. We don't know about the future, but who cares about the future? If you win a championship this year, it's all worth it, right?
Well, of course, yeah.
Okay, so chances of winning the champ?
Is that kind of where the bar is set, though?
No, I don't think so. Texans, you kidding me? No, the Texans are looking for one more division championship and then out in the first round because that's pretty much what's going
to
happen.
I was listening to sports radio this afternoon. The Adams were on the A-team, and they were talking, and they were having their bickering back and forth, which was great. But I forget which one of them. Maybe Wexler was saying, listen, if the Texans put up their best record ever under Bill O'Brien, he's like, are you going to be mad about that? He's like, well, I want more. No, it doesn't matter because if they go 12-4, let's say they go 12-4 this year and they get to the playoffs and they still lose in the first round, maybe they win get the second round. Doesn't matter. A 12-4 record, you're not going to fire Bill O'Brien. There's no way.
You should.
Well, we got rid of Brian Gain, our GM with an 11-5 record 1 year.
Yeah, but there was something else going on there, I think.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but still, either way, listen, the Texans never do what I want them to do. You know what I mean? They should have fired Gary Kubiak two years before they fired him. Goodness. Bill O'Brien should have been fired 3 years ago. I mean, yes. Come on. If it was up to me, we'd be cycling through these coaches until we got to Dabo. Finally, we got to Dabo. Well,
I keep telling you, man. Make me the general manager.
Listen, if he's ever the Texans coach, I think I'll be the first one that called it out.
I did hear something that was interesting also, though. Somebody said if given my choice of all coaches out there, college coaches.
All of them.
He said, the one I want right now, if we could just take him, is Lincoln Riley.
Who's that?
Nebraska's coach went to, where's he at now? I'll look up where he's at right now. I want to say he's Iowa? I'm going to lie. I'm just going to look at.
So, this guy, you must really like him.
No, Lincoln Riley has, I know he has a good record in college.
You want him to be the Texans head coach?
Well, no, this is what somebody said on the radio. I thought it was an intriguing idea because it's another one of those names. Now, it's not Dabo, obviously. He doesn't have the pedigree.
No, but I want that.
You want the pedigree?
I like the swing for the fences, man. Listen, for all the Texans' warts, I appreciate that they went and got the left tackle. Maybe, the best one that might have been available in the league. He's also young, and he's some guy you can, build an offensive line around.
Lincoln Riley's at Oklahoma. That's where he's at.
Okay, there you go. This is his, first year coaching there? Second year coaching there?
Trying to see.
Anyways, the point is, I want to go get, if I'm going to go for a guy, I'm going to go get the most proven guy out there. And I don't think for me, it's not Nick Saban in college. It would be Dabo Swinney, because Dabo Swinney's beat Nick Saban twice, and he has a history with the players on my team. That's the reasoning for that.
Lincoln Riley's 24-4 as a coach.
Good for him.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
No. It's very soon in a career, obviously.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You go to the pros after that. Come on now. You kidding me? Anyhoozle. The Texans, okay, back to my original point, which was I like that they went for the moves. I don't know if they gave up too much, and if they win a Super Bowl, that wasn't too much. You know what I mean? If they lose in the first round again and they mortgage their future, then it was too much. Jadeveon Clowney obviously wanted out. You got rid of him.
So 12-4 doesn't do it for you? Even if they still go out in the first round, the playoffs.
No, it's the first round.
Regular season. Listen, record doesn't matter.
I don't
really
even think if they lose in the second round, I'll be like, oh, okay, at least we got to the second round. No, I think it's like NFC or AFC championship,
or bust
to be like, okay, that was a pretty damn good season. Like if you lose a tight game against Kansas City in the AFC championship, where it's like a shootout and they just have the ball last, you know what I mean, or something like that, and you go, man, that was really awesome. That was fun to watch. That was cool. I can see this team moving forward, maybe one more year together. Yeah, that'd be okay, right? You saw some good things. Anything short of that, it's like, okay, it's same old, man.
I mean, what does your heart tell you? What does your gut tell you? Because I don't think we're getting the AFC title.
No, I don't think so either. No, I told you. Remember I told you this? I said we need three changes. It needed to be ownership, it needed to be GM, and it needed to be coach, right? We've only done one, and that, Bob McNair had to die for that one thing to happen. And the new owner.
Technically, we've done two because GM.
But they don't have a GM now. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, yeah, okay, you've done 1.5.
Yeah.
You got rid of the GM, but you didn't replace him. You surely didn't replace the coach, which is maybe the most integral in that. Yeah, you know what I mean? But Bob McNair, sorry, he had to go. Did you see that thing that just came out from Hopkins about that comment?
Yeah, that it.
That dude's dead, and he's still regurgitating that. You know what I mean?
Sure. There's a phrase.
My point is that guy's living on from the past because he said something real dumb.
That says people don't remember. I mean, in this case, you do remember what they said, but people don't normally remember the words you say. They just remember how it made them feel.
Right.
Well, the word that Bob McNair chose made Andre Johnson, or not Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, feel like a slave.
Yeah.
And that has obviously bothered him. And I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, I mean, I the imagery of slave and NFL football player sometimes is tough for us, like average people, to get. But I do understand the idea of language, specifically in that ownership to player role.
Right. Well, and if they don't want to call him, it's a fancy indentured servant.
What do you mean?
The role of a player owner. The one.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But listen, you're free to quit whenever you want.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Listen, football players don't get a whole lot of sympathy from me because a lot of them are millionaires, right?
Multi.
But in all the sports, specifically American sports, they have the worst with regards to contracts and the wear and tear of their body, right? Football beats you up. The average football career is like something like 6 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. Something ridiculous. Basketball, you can play forever. Baseball, you can play until your 40s, right? As long as you can hit the curve, man, you can play. You can be a DH until you're 40.
Right,
and those contracts are guaranteed. And there's lots of money in baseball. There's lots of money in basketball, right? Because all the money in football gets spread around 52 times.
And they have to fight for whatever guaranteed money.
Nothing guaranteed, or they're not necessarily guaranteed contracts, so on and so forth. So football has it the worst. So I really don't begrudge any football player. I don't begrudge any holdout player, because listen, you got to get yours, because you are quite literally one tackle away, one helmet to the knee away from, you know, you're going from a superstar to, like, you know, a bench warmer.
Well, I mean, speaking of holdouts, you saw Zeke ended his holdout today, right?
Well, I heard it was coming, but I didn't see exactly what the stats were, and I don't really care.
Yeah, he got a bunch guaranteed too. That was the other thing.
The deal with the Cowboys is they're about to sink a whole bunch of money into three players, and that's gonna be tough for them to. Build around.
Six year $90 million extension for Zeke The guaranteed is, where's it on?
Do you put any stock into players that get paid and get lazy?
Yeah.
You think he's one of those guys?
I think that's what a common consensus is, that Jadeveon Clowney is going to end up being.
Because he's getting paid? Do you think that's why the Texans were okay to move on from him?
I think so.
Interesting. Maybe. He was a pretty damn good player here. I will say that.
He definitely had his moments.
I thought he was pretty damn good, man.
I didn't. Zeke got 50 of that 90 guaranteed, by the way.
Good on him.
Yeah, that's a lot. Listen, I don't hold any grudges against Clowney. I think it's silly, because if the whole point of it, ultimately, if he wanted to get traded, he succeeded. If he wanted more money, he failed miserably in that plan, because he was still forced to sign the tenure, the franchise tag, and then play under it under a one-year deal for the Seahawks, and then have to negotiate again next year.
Right. Well, but
if he stayed here and played with us for the exact same amount, he would be in the exact same position next year.
Right. But I think he wanted out of Houston. I think that was part of the deal.
If that was the whole,
I mean, I think that was part of the deal.
Potatoes of it, sure. But I'm saying that it made no difference financially for him. And in fact, he probably lost money.
I think that there's a culture in the Texans organization that is pushing these guys away. Is what I'm saying. Like, when Deshaun. Wait, not Deshaun Watson, but DeAndre. We were just talking about earlier, his comments about the ownership, like, they're, you know, listen, you know what it feels like to resent your job, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Making however much money you make, could be the most money you've ever made, and still hate going to work every day, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, of course, what they do and we do is completely different, but you think about that, right? So
a toxic environment is a toxic environment.
Yeah, if you feel like the ownership is racist, right?
And views you as a fucking commodity and nothing more.
Right. That's got to lean on some people, right? And I totally get that. And that's another reason. I really do not begrudge any of these guys for holding out. Good for them. Get your money. You know what I mean? It's a dangerous game, because you could lose on this deal. I mean, how much did, what's the running back from Pittsburgh last year that held out, lost like $13 million or something?
Le'Veon Bell was like $18
million. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I think he's okay. I mean, I think, you know, whatever. And there's some principle to that and so on and so forth. You know, again, I think football players got it rough, man. They really cut it rough. Baseball players get paid and play till they're 40.
Guaranteed money.
There's no football players besides Tom Brady. He's got some kind of magic elixir he's taken.
He's on the same stuff that Magic Johnson took.
What do you think that is?
Liquefied money, intravenously.
Money?
Yes.
Why money? What do you mean by money?
It fixes everything.
I don't even know what that means. Money, that's like a really loose term there. Like gold?
No, I mean actual, like, liquefied money.
Like dollar bills?
Yep. Pureed. South Park episode. They gave it to Magic Johnson. That's how it cured his AIDS.
Everything is a South Park episode.
It is, dude.
I should probably go back and watch this, so you're not going to have, like, just a South Park breakdown show. And on this episode, let me tell you how this is interesting. What were we talking about before that? Texans and how awful they are as a
40 years old.
I'm not excited about the Texans. They've burned me, too. I mean, they burned me because the fans are the worst. I mean, not that I'm not a fan, but like the true fans are like, oh, Texas, they're never critical enough, right? They never hold the team accountable enough by saying, okay, this team's garbage, we're going to stop going to games.
Yeah, the wait list is 10 bazillion people.
Yeah, sold, you know. Out.
They're never going to change, because the product that they're giving you
for years and years and years
has made you spend all your money, so they don't care.
They were this, their mantra was they were only going to sign goody two shoe players.
Well, the difference would be, you know, when the Astros sucked, when they were on those multiple 100-plus loss seasons, they understood that you're not getting people to the stadium for regular prices. So they started running the dynamic ticket prices.
Oh man, you got in there for free pretty much.
You could go sit down in the, you know, bottom for, you know, the 105, 110, 129 sections for like $25.
No, dude, it was like free.
If that.
You could get in the building for free.
You could bring, I do remember you could actually bring like, in a sandwich or a soda with you and they didn't care.
It's like, hey.
Just please put your butt in the seat because we're bad.
If you'll just show up, they're like people outside going, hey, what are you doing right now? Like, well, I got this meeting. Hey, come on in. Y'all have the meeting inside.
Right, you can have a meeting. I got suites available.
We need, yeah.
Which y'all could use.
But of course, the market crashed in that, so they had to get somebody in. So they had to do something.
And
the
all
Texans,
of a sudden,
yeah, it's a shame because they were bad and the Texans have been bad. Not that Texans are like terrible right now. It's just that they have no hope. You have no hope that they're ever going to get past what we just said, which was out in the first round.
Even with the trades they've made, which is, we did touch on it briefly, is that all three of the local teams have made large trades.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. How they're all big splashes. Right. I would say these are big splashes for the Texans.
Sure. I think it's unfortunate that it's, maybe it's just not big enough of a splash. Maybe it's still, it's maybe I hold on to too much of a grudge myself. Listen, I don't like Bill O'Brien. I don't think he should be the head coach, and he definitely shouldn't be the general manager.
Yeah.
And because fucking Booty Chin is at the helm, everybody knows. First and 10, what are we doing?
I don't know, hand it off to the right.
Draw right up the middle, right? Second and 11, same play, left side. They'll never know what hit them.
Punting on third down.
Third down.
We're going to trick
now that we've gone backwards five yards. Play action pass.
That's their new move this year. They're punting on third down. We're going to surprise the shit out of them.
I hope we actually find an offense this year. But
no, the offense can be good, right? They can be good. They can be good specifically when they're down late. You see, Deshaun Watson has a knack for bringing his team back.
Deshaun's a
I mean, they've got weapons, man. It's not that.
Just got to keep him vertical, and hopefully this line adjustment that we've made will do it. But we'll see. I guess we're all on the same boat of, or you and I are on the same page of, we are not hopefully optimistic, but we are cautiously maybe hoping that there's a spark of life.
I mean,
because I'm not hopefully optimistic. I'm if I'm anything, I'm cautiously.
How about this?
1% optimistic.
Well, what year was it when the Astros got good? And I was like,
I'm skeptical is what I am.
There you go. That's a good one. That's a good
cautiously
word. That's
skeptical
a good,
for them. Yeah, you're talking about this 2016 season,
right? And so the Astros got off to a really good start, and I remember going up to your house, and I was like, "Hey, man, turn the Astros on. You were watching something else."
I think I was watching UFC or something, and I had it
and,
on both TVs.
And you're like, "Why?" And I was like, "Man, this team's really good. You gotta watch these guys." And you were like, "I'm not watching them until they're in first place after the All-Star break."
Yeah.
And so I came over a bunch of times, and you begrudgingly put it on, right? One of those kind of deals.
It would always be on the backup TV, though,
right? And so finally, after the All-Star break, the Astros like three games in the first place or something like that. You're like, all right, I'm going to pay attention to this team. And they ended up winning 100 games that year and going to the playoffs and beat the Yankees in, I think it was, they beat the Yankees in a play-in game or something. I don't know. That was not the year they went to the World Series.
Yeah, it's not the year they went to the American League Championship either, but it was
anyways, it was the first year they were good. And then they didn't make the playoffs the next year, and they got really good and won the World Series the year after that.
So it would have been 15 then.
Probably,
So anyways, sounds right.
Okay, so
speaking of Astros, 90.
Well, no. I was gonna finish that point by saying if the Texans are, you know, I don't know, 6-2 after 8 games, maybe I'll be interested. 7-1, something like that. If you're 7-1, then okay, I'm gonna be a believer. How about that?
All right, I like it.
I don't even know what their schedule is, and that's probably impossible because they're playing New Orleans Saints the first game, so they're probably gonna be 0-1. So that means they have to win 7 in a row. Okay, you win 7 in a row, I'm in. Let me see what you got, Bill O'Brien. Yeah. All right, what do you want to talk about? The Astros next?
So the Astros are 90-50.
90-50. 10 games away from 100 wins again. That's 3 in a row. I don't think anybody's ever won ever gone 4 seasons in a row winning 100 games.
The Yankees are 92-49. They're a game and a half in front of us for the American League.
Astros didn't play tonight.
No, they did not. They play tomorrow. We're going to the game, by the way.
How about that?
Nicole and I are going to the game.
What's tomorrow, Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got stuff to do.
Free tickets from her job for whatever reason, because she's working Sunday morning.
That's great.
So
good job, job.
Yeah,
good job. All right. So Astros played back at it tomorrow. I don't know who's pitching. They've done pretty well. It's just that
since the last
Yankees
time we,
and Dodgers
time.
Have all been. Yeah. I mean, they're everybody's winning. It's so close right now.
Yeah, since the last time we talked about them, they've definitely stepped it up, and you know, I was trying to not be disappointed. Last time we were in the midst of like a 4-6 in the last 10, but we've definitely picked it up since then. So
for me, the most important thing for me is, I mean, obviously you're gonna try to win every game, and obviously you're gonna try to win home field advantage. But really, the chance to have home field advantage against the Yankees, I think, is probably the most important thing. We won a World Series against the Dodgers playing at their place, so I think there's some history there. Also, Greinke, I think, can hit, and I think Verlander's okay at hitting.
Verlander just came off of his third no-no of his career.
Oh, my goodness. We talked about how we watched that, right?
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole game. I kind of got a thing in my phone. It was like, Verlander.
I started the seventh inning.
No-no after seven, or no-no through seven, or no-no beginning the eighth, something like that. And so I flipped it on because that's awesome. And so I went to the box score to make sure that I didn't miss anything after the thing. It was still nothing, so on and so forth. And I saw him strike out the bottom of the eighth. Anyways, I ended up watching the rest of that game and seeing in the top of the ninth, Toro hit that home run.
Two-run bomb.
Yeah. And anyways, that was a really, really cool thing to watch. It's a shame I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, well, like I said, I picked it up in the top of the seventh. Yeah. We flipped it on. We were watching something else.
But that was really freaking cool.
So, you know, shortly after Verlander gets his third career no-no, go ahead and, you know, he strikes out 14 in 120 pitches. The next game, Garrett Cole strikes out 14 to take the major league strikeout lead back from Justin Verlander.
Those two guys are probably 1-2 or 1-2-1-3 in, or 2-3 or whatever.
In almost everything, yeah.
In everything. Do you think Verlander wins a Cy Young because of the no-no this year?
He might.
What's their records?
I'll pull that up in a second. Yeah. I was going to say, then Alvarez hit his 22nd home run, which ties Correa for Astros rookies all-time home runs in a season.
I think Correa was up like a month or two before. Maybe not.
I don't know. But
no, he's already tied it with like a month ago. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, Alvarez has tied it with a month ago.
He won rookie of the month like 3 months in a row.
He did win it again last month. Yeah. Verlander got
player of the month.
Player of the week. Bregman got player of the month. And then Cole got pitcher
of the month.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? It's insane what's going on right now.
Just owning it, guys.
It is pretty insane. That those sabermetrics are really, really cranking out those numbers, man. I mean, seriously, I think that they've got something going on over there in Houston Astroland.
They've got some. It's the, you know, people can get mad.
Listen,
just because we know how to read the numbers.
I've got an idea.
That doesn't make it.
Okay, I've got an idea.
Stupid.
Okay, yeah. I may just come up with the most brilliant idea ever. Nick, I'm sorry. This is, you're going to have to sacrifice for this one, my friend.
Okay.
I want to petition for Jeff Luhnow to pull... wear two hats, so to speak, and
you want him to be the GM
of the Houston Texans.
I would allow that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, you could probably get Bregman to play a little tight end, maybe. I don't know. He's kind of stocky. That might work. No. after Verlander threw his no-hitter that day, I tried to draft him in my fantasy draft, and he was unavailable, which I found brilliant.
You should have written him in, but...
Yeah.
So let's see. Verlander is 17-5 on the year with a 2.56 ERA and 257 strikeouts and a WHIP of .77.
All right.
Garrett Cole is 15-5 with a 2.81 ERA, 266 strikeouts and a WHIP of .95.
So Verlander's numbers are better everywhere except total strikeouts.
Which is
so, and the no-hitter. I think it's Verlander, Cy Young to lose with, what, two or three starts left, four starts left, something like that?
Probably going to have about four starts left.
Okay, so, and then set up for the playoffs. Yeah, I think it's Verlander's, Cy Young. Good for him. It's been a hell of a season. We got him for two more years, and that is awesome sauce.
Yeah.
How long we got Greinke for, another year?
He's here two more years as
two
well.
Two more years, yeah. He's been pretty good. He's been really...
He got his first loss the other night with us, but, shit happens.
Yeah, he's been pretty good, though.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed. He's a different pitcher. He's not the power pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if they want to put him in between Verlander and Cole or just let Verlander and Cole be fireballers back-to-back. They've been like that all year long.
Right, and just assume that we can get a 2-0 lead in most series just because.
Yeah, well, there's a theory about changing up the look for the hitter so they're not seeing fireballer, that you'd put an off-speed kind of guy in there in between them, which Greinke obviously fits that bill, or a lefty in the middle
right,
of that.
Throw Miley in there, yeah. Right.
It'll be interesting. Lots of things for the Astros to kind of figure out with regards to the roster going into the playoffs. I think September call-ups, you know what that means? the roster, yeah, the expands roster expanded to like.
Well, so speaking of Miley, 13-4, 306 ERA, 134 strikeouts, 1.22 WHIP.
Really good, like probably career year for him.
It's pretty freaking
it's
solid.
Another,
there.
It's another
and Greinke 14-5, 309 ERA, 162 strikeouts, 1.02 WHIP.
Not too shabby. Is that as an Astro? Is that
that's overall for this season? Yeah, yeah. As an Astro, he's 4-1, 5-1, something like that.
Wade Miley is like the Astros' left-handed version of Charlie Morton. They just kind of pick a guy off the scrap heap and make him have the best year of his career. Did you see Charlie Morton interview when he pitched at Minute Maid?
When we smoked him?
Yeah, well, before that game, he got all emotional about his time here. Oh, that sounds pretty cool. I was like one of those guys.
No, I love Charlie fucking Morton.
Man, yeah.
Charlie fucking Morton.
I mean, played an integral role, not only that season, but in that World Series finale. Yeah.
Eighth and ninth were Charlie fucking Morton.
And he did that. He and McCullers swapped back and forth the series before McCullers closed out his start in a closeout game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it was pretty awesome that the way A.J. Hinch used those guys in the playoffs, two starting pitchers, one to kind of go four or five innings, six innings, and the other guy to kind
of
throw
right,
three or four,
the rest
depending
of it.
At,
sure.
Depending, yeah. So you like had two pitchers, and it was like, what an interesting way to do that. And they, you know, both guys like pitched their faces off. That was a really cool.
Right. Lance McCullers fucking 97 curveballs in a row.
Yeah, sliders or whatever he throws.
No,
yeah.
It's like 36 curveballs, 27 curveballs in a row, all strikes, and they just couldn't hit them.
Yeah,
it was if like, they touched
you know
it,
coming?
It was a foul.
Guess what? Here comes right. here
just
comes
watch
the wrinkle.
This nasty motherfucker! Watch this thing drop. Oh, it sucks. Yeah. You can't hit that. Man, I'm excited. See, and that's right there is what we're missing for the Houston Texans.
Right, that like long run with where you can regurgitate plays, big plays that made you go just, smile and high five and chest bump,
feeling
and,
it right yeah. because this team has come up short so often that is not just. The Man. Expectation, but it's the until you prove me wrong. Like I've given you too many chances,
right.
Texans. Mm. You fooled me once, you fooled me twice, you fooled me 17 times. Mm. Now fuck you.
It's like when your dad wasn't mad at you anymore. He was disappointed. You know what I mean? I'm not mad, son. I'm just disappointed. Yeah. Oh,
that's it. That's what we are, folks. Yeah. Folks, we're disappointed with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, not mad. Not mad anymore. Just disappointed. I thought we taught you better, Houston Texans.
I thought so.
Thought we was better than you.
Right, because, you know, the good news, by the way, if they're, we've got
about
all
the Texans?
Sports, no, just in general, all the sports are coming back, by the way. Obviously, football kicks off tomorrow. Season starts Thursday night football.
Yeah. Are you excited? Are you going to watch it tomorrow night? Are you going to the game, you said?
We're
going to
be at the Astros game. Right, so no. I'll see what I see when I get home.
Yeah.
I think it's a 7 o'clock game, so I'll see what I see. Maybe I won't see nothing.
Okay. No. If you weren't going to
the Astros game,
would
yes.
you?
Okay. Yes, we would.
Texans play on Monday night.
Correct.
What are you doing Monday night?
Watching football.
All right. So you're gonna make an appointment to watch football that night
in the garage.
I mean, fair enough. But right. at least you're gonna.
I mean, possibly at a bar.
Are you gonna watch? Are you gonna watch every Monday night football game?
I typically do, but
there
again,
is. Well, I'm just saying because you said you're playing golf on Sunday, so you're not gonna make a point to watch golf on Sunday. Are you gonna? Make a point to watch football Sunday and Monday nights.
I'm going to watch football. It's just not going to be the. Do you remember, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago?
I had this conversation.
Sunday was the priority, right? Football was the priority.
I had a conversation with an older gentleman at my bar the other day about this exact thing. About once upon a time, every Sunday, it was like, hey, what are you doing this Sunday? Let's all get together at my place.
Grilling.
Everybody brought some food. You know what I mean? But yeah, there was a whole. It was an event. Yeah. I get that. We're nowhere near that anymore.
Sunday was the ordeal to watch football and get together.
Remember when the neighbors, like the neighbor, your neighbors before these neighbors, before those neighbors, we all had, they were like, what was her name?
Melissa.
Oh, man. We should write a book about that crazy lady.
Stony Baloney.
Stony Baloney. Man, oh, man.
Probably some of the craziest fucking neighbors I've ever had.
We should have a podcast just about those times.
About how many crazy people have lived next door to me.
Oh, yeah, that too. The crazy haunted house. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right. So so you will watch Sunday Night Football. Who's playing this Sunday night? Do you know? I don't know either.
No, I will be watching. I mean,
you will watch Monday. It's a doubleheader on Monday with the Texans.
Right.
What time are they playing? Early?
We're the late game.
Late game.
I think.
Oh, come on.
Pretty sure we're the late game because Kansas City plays also. So you know what? Maybe we are the first game.
Come on.
Let's look it up.
You're killing me.
I'm sorry.
All right. So Texans play Monday night. We're definitely going to watch that. You're going to watch it at your place?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless we want to go somewhere, but. Probably.
I got to work Tuesday.
Probably going to be watching in the garage.
All right. I might come over.
All right, do it. Don't lie. Don't you threaten me with a good time.
All right, so beyond that, you're not going to necessarily...
So Sunday mornings, I'm going to try and have a tea time between 8 and 9. That's what I try to do, right?
Oh, man. I maybe 9:30. 8
to 9, 9:30.
6 o'clock Monday. That's awesome. Ugly.
Yeah, so 6 o'clock.
I'd probably be home by 10.
So if I do that, if I have an early-ish tea time, then I'm done 12:30, 1 o'clock.
I like to imagine your tea time involving actual, like, British tea.
Sitting down and having tea. Proper. These proper spot.
These crumpets are a little stale.
Proper spot of tea.
Would you like a spot of tea?
There you go. Right. I knew you were going to get all English lady on me.
Those are my favorite ladies.
So, anyways, come back from that, grab something on the way, and I'll be home a little after 1. So we'll watch like the second half of the first games, and then the later game, the 3 o'clock, and whatever.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I mean,
there you go.
Sure, but it's not the priority anymore. Sunday morning.
Yeah, got it. Understood. All right, let's pause it here.
So I guess we can wrap up the sports there. We did mention in the intro. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't even bring it up here. Obviously, there is a hurricane out in the Pacific. It was supposed to hit Florida. Tore up the Bahamas.
Yeah, it did hit the Bahamas.
It sat there on the Bahamas for a minute and did some crazy... I mean, you've seen all the videos and the pictures. Yeah,
like I saw one video that was like... Oh, it was like water sloshing on the second floor windows. That was pretty nuts. Like, wow. Listen, Bahamas got waxed, but what I really find funny about hurricane season is the coverage of hurricane season.
Oh, yeah.
It is meteorologist Super Bowl.
Of course it is.
It is the big time. So whatever day that they really start talking about the hurricane.
The cone of uncertainty.
Yes, the cone of uncertainty. The cone of uncertainty. Look how big the cone of uncertainty has reached now. It did not reach Alabama. I don't think the cone of uncertainty, the cone of unicorns and rainbows may have met Alabama. The cone of...
Nope, Alabama was okay. The National Weather Service had to go back and make sure everybody knows that. And by the way, what y'all don't realize, we're referencing, we're going to have it in the...
So,
links.
But listen. Why? Okay, let's rewind just a second because Trump says something stupid and then people probably... So instead of people freaking out, the National Weather Service says, no, you're safe, right?
Right.
But 2 days ago, the National Weather Service said, Florida, everyone in the entire state of Florida must evacuate.
Gotta go.
Take all your pets. Strap them to your chest and run if you can't drive out of the state, right?
Go.
And then what happened?
It's taking a right.
Right. So this like
now it's going to North Carolina.
So this
South Carolina.
This Super Bowl of weather storm nonsense that these meteorologists,
of all the things we've ever done in our life, Josh, work wise, I think the one mistake that we made is we could have become
professional guessers,
meteorologists,
professional guessers,
also known as professional guessers, or somebody that's completely full of shit. Listen, I would appreciate if they just went up there and said, look, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. There's a bunch of possibilities. Here are 7 of them. One of them is probably going to happen. Of this, you're probably going to get fucked somewhere.
Yeah,
I mean, it's coming. Here's what I do know. It's a big storm. It's coming. You're going to feel it.
I don't know what
where this bitch is going. I don't know.
What should they do? Should they just say, listen, you could get hit here. Not to alarm everybody, but I mean, you could get hit there. I don't know. There was a guy on Twitter the other day that was, he took a picture of the sky. He's living in Florida and he's taking a picture of the sky and he was like, man, you wouldn't believe that a Category 5 hurricane was about to hit this in 18 hours or something like that, I guess before it turned.
Sure.
And his comment was, imagine 100 years ago, like nobody would have ever known. It was just like, what a beautiful day this is today and tomorrow. And then, oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness. Look at all this wind and rain coming in. What's going on here?
That's a really weird color of sky. And, I don't know. Yeah. I think that living on the Gulf Coast as we do, like we feel we're kind of like hurricane experts a little bit. You know what I mean? Like we've been through some shizzle.
We get some hurricanes.
Yeah. Do you feel like that? Maybe I should ask that. Do you feel like you're kind of a hurricane expert?
I think the people who live in Florida feel the same way, though.
They really do. Yeah,
because they get them all.
Yeah.
I mean, they get them just as much as we
do. All right,
so
anybody who lives along the water should kind of get that, hurricanes could happen.
When you move up the East Coast there, though, I mean, as soon as you get probably north of Georgia there, they don't get a ton of them,
right?
But they get that unfortunate turn when it does decide it doesn't want to hit Florida.
And it happens every now and again, but not quite as much as it does the other
right,
way.
Right, most of the time it comes in and it catches Florida, and we get them from the Gulf, or obviously.
Yeah, I mean, hurricanes have been going on for, as far as anybody could ever, pay attention and record anything.
By the way, Category 5 is a real thing. It's been a real thing for a long time.
Yeah.
where I'm going with that is where we were going.
Oh, because Trump said that. Yeah. Kind of, what is that?
we're going to post in the links.
Are you sure he wasn't thinking like it was just a cat agori five? Like that means it's some kind of name of a feline animal or something?
You know, here's what we're going to do. So I'm going to
cat agori five.
We're going to have the link.
You mean like meow? Like meow meow?
On the podcast. The link will be there so you can watch the video yourself.
You say that, sir. You say that.
I have them pulled up. I remember this
you
time.
You say that.
Yeah, right. Last time I fucked up. This time I have
TADATAS.com/episode29 nice. Is where you'll find this. Potentially, we'll cut this out if we don't if he doesn't put it up. Jerk!
It's going up. It's guys. Going up. The guys. Link will be there. It'll maybe be today, there. Maybe you can tomorrow. Watch it. You maybe. Can appreciate the video. Never. Laugh a little bit.
All right. So back
that's
to hurricanes.
That's a buffoonery about the hurricane.
But what do you
Alabama
think?
Alabama is good. Don't
what
worry.
Do you think about the concept that the TV tells the people to freak out and everybody freaks out? Do you remember when Rita was supposed to hit Houston and there was like a parking lot on 45 for like
because
19 hours
right after Katrina?
Were you in Houston back then?
Yeah.
What was that? Okay.
We stayed at Wallace's house.
Oh, good old Wallace.
Me and Nicole stayed at Wallace. It was his birthday today, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday, Wallace.
Yeah, happy birthday, Wallace. We stayed
at September.
We stayed at Wallace's house. For
did I tell you my story?
Rita. And
because Katrina happened the week or two before, and it rocked New Orleans and half New Orleans underwater, and the levees broke, and Bush broke the levees, and Bush doesn't like black people.
All of it.
And then the second storm of the century was coming in the way of Rita.
And it was coming
not
at
Margarita,
us.
But just Rita.
Yeah.
And it was coming straight for Houston, and all of Houston was going underwater. And so Galveston up into Spring was evacuating on 45. And what that meant was that 45 was a parking lot.
Between here and Dallas, pretty much. We had contraflow from like Huntsville. Or north of the Woodlands, all the way up to Huntsville and beyond was contraflow. So you had everybody going north, all the lanes. And yet we still had, it was taking people like 6 hours to get from here to Conroe.
So listen to this.
And it was
this
taking people days to get from here to Dallas.
Do you know the Joe's Crab Shack on 45?
Yes.
You know I used to work there?
The one that's closed down now?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Once upon a time I used to work there.
I didn't know it was closed down until the other day, but yes, I remember the Joe's.
All right, so
there.
That's Donald and I were working together back then. And so we were working that. Day and so well, I knew we know all the back roads around here.
Chef
so
Dinaldo.
So we know how to get around. So we were going and getting gas in all the cars and so on and so forth. They called me. He's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, I'm at the restaurant. I was like, "I'll be there in a second." What are you doing up here? And he's like, "Well, the food's probably gonna go bad, so we gotta cook it all." And I'm like, "So I'm here to eat some food." And so we cook some steaks, and there is like, "Well, the beer's probably gonna go bad too, isn't it?" He's like, "Of course it's gonna go bad. We better drink it." So of course we tapped into the Miller Lights. That was what we drank back then, the Miller Lights, and we played poker with quarters on the table. The best part about it was one of our directors walked into the restaurant to get ice while we were there, saw us drinking, playing quarter poker, waved, "Need any help?" "Nope, I got it. All right, see you later."
Yeah, he was like, "I don't give a fuck what y'all are doing.
Just come to get ice, fellas." Right.
There's an ice machine over here I'm not buying ice. I'm going to come get the free shit that I know that's here.
I did not things. See anything.
I have a key. I'm
yeah, so we sat there. Anyways, the best part of the story is we saw a car go from there to there in about 6 hours on the freeway. From there to there. People were trying to kind of come up and use the restroom and things like that. And we were like, "Oh, I ain't letting you in here, fool."
you pulled your Joel Osteen.
Trying to get up in our fucking good times is what they were trying to do.
Made sure the door was locked. Tell everybody you were
flooded. No, we left some water outside. Some people came in and we gave them some waters. Like we had some bottled water.
We have
things.
No power. Please go away.
No, there was
the sign, the lights are on. No, they're not. No, no, no.
No, there was no like power. People were trying to come and take a piss. And it was like, "No, man, here's a bottle of water. Go pee on the side of the building." Anyways,
yeah. So Rita, I remember we went. There used to be, I don't know if it's still there anymore. Down 1960 towards where Wallace lived, maybe on the other side of Red Oak, or not on the other side of Red Oak. Yeah, other side of Red Oak before you get to Ponderosa, where he lives. There was a not White Castle. What was the other one? The competitor that had the little sliders also. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
You don't.
Let's move this conversation.
Anyways.
On. Yes, I remember that. I'll remember here in a second.
I bought one of those 40 packs of those.
How many?
40.
40?
There's 40 of those little slider
burgers. How many could you take down by yourself?
Oh, I don't know. We took them for everybody over there.
Okay.
And so everybody's munching on them. I don't know about you. You ate them while they were hot for a while. 5, 6 of them. That was good. And then they sat out. And then when the power went out, they were terrible, but we still ate them.
Wah, wah. Right.
I remember being in the backyard at Wallace's, sitting there by the grill because we were grilling, and the pool, the jets in the pool turned on. dun, dun, dun. That was the first thing that kicked on, and then all the lights came back on. It was a couple of days. You know, we were without power for a couple of days.
Oh, y'all stayed there the whole time? Yeah. A couple of days? Oh, wow.
Well, because I lived in the apartment there, Memorial Hills.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I forget about how long ago. Remember the what was the party we had at my rent house?
Emerson Ridge?
Yeah. That. No. I forget the
name. Not address. Emerson Ridge. No, Kent Cove.
That's right. Well, we lived down the street from Aaron, but I don't know if we lived on the street from Aaron when we had the hurricane party. No. She never came over anyways.
Kennecove.
We talked about that.
That was Harvey. No, not Harvey.
No, Ike, I think.
Ike.
Did we talk about that at Kevin's party, or did we talk about that at the draft? I forget now. I drank a lot
draft,
since then.
Probably draft.
Okay, so anyways, the story behind that was we had 14 people in my house, right?
Yeah, that was horrible. It was fun, but it was not fun.
Well, here's the deal. The best part was the first night was awesome because
we had no kids, but Jamie was.
No, there was one kid there. Eli. What's her name? Eli from.
Lori. Fine.
Jesus Christ, Shatzer. Lori was there.
She was there.
Remember? Because we got into a fight about the Crazy Eights or something. I don't remember what the game was. Skip Bow. I think it was Skip Bow.
I remember Jamie.
There was cards that went flying. Oh, Jamie left in the middle of the night. Jamie left in the middle of the night.
She was miserable because she was like 8 or 9 months
pregnant.
No,
she was like 9.5 months pregnant. Yeah, like she had the baby the next day, I think.
We had that one window unit running off the generator.
Dude, but we did have a pretty good setup. For a bunch of like halfway homeless people, we felt like, we had a pretty good setup. We had a generator, one little like rickety.
But it worked. We had plenty of gas.
We had a fridge.
And the AC. And that AC, AC
a little window unit and something else. Oh, we had TV that we one night. TV. We had a TV. And then, but the best part was we got power back, I mean, maybe 36 hours out of power, right? And nobody else in Houston had power for like a month.
So that storm, after we left your house, we went back to mine, and my power came back on like 2 days later, maybe a day after we left, something like that. We didn't leave till we had power back.
Yeah.
But my parents were without power for like 3.5 weeks, yeah. 2.5 weeks. Maybe it was 2 weeks. Yeah, total.
And I don't think my dad lost power for that long either.
I think they lost power for like 2.5 weeks total from the storm to the time they got it back. But after we left your house, I was working with DSC. They sent me to Boston for training for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I was in Marble, Massachusetts for 2 weeks training, and Nicole had my family at my house.
Ooh.
All of them were there.
And that was before you had kids, right?
Yeah, we didn't have any kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was like, yeah. Was Flo there too?
I think so.
Yeah. Wow.
So those were the days.
Before we all had kids, like, we used to go out drinking and just crash at your place. Like, just
all the time.
Yeah. Or my place. I would do that
anywhere,
too.
Man, everywhere.
Gosh,
We would just go.
And we drink.
Pass out. And go spend the night somewhere.
Why do we have kids, Nick?
Because What?
I'm just rethinking all the decisions I've made in my life.
You know, a minute ago I said the only decision I
challenging every single one of them.
One of the ones I thought we fucked up was becoming meteorologists. We should have done that.
Then we'd be professional guessers.
We probably should have been single or no children, right? With professional guessers.
I don't know, man. No, I can't get rid of my kiddos.
No, I like my
kids.
You
kidding me?
I like them. A little bit.
Yeah. Thank Gabby. Thank Gabby. Now he's playing softball now.
Natalie Thierry with a P. Or pterodactyl.
Oh, no. Brooklyn. Brooklyn pterodactyl. Mm.
That's what it was. My bad.
Brookie T.
That's right. I'm sorry, Brookie T. I fucked your name up. My bad.
What else do you want to talk about tonight? We want to talk. Oh, speaking of hurricanes, do you want me to do the gouging thing? I don't really care to do that. I don't really want to care to do anything serious.
So we got the hurricane, right? And then I was telling you earlier. So on Reason.com, this link will also be posted.
This can be real serious?
Yeah.
Okay. This is gun control stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
here we go.
Prior to.
Shall not be infringed.
Prior to, I don't know, a week or so ago, actually the last episode, so 2-3 weeks ago, when I was coming over that night, Nicole and I think we both really liked Beto O'Rourke, but she was
both playing, you and Nicole liked him?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
But she was playing a video that night where he happened to hit a button for me and turn me the other way, and then since then he's doubled down. Beto, the link we're going to post is from Reason.com.
Do you remember what the first thing he said was?
Yes.
Okay.
It's all about he wants to take down, quote-unquote, assault weapons.
Yeah.
And that...
That was the first thing you saw you didn't like?
No, well, that was...
You didn't see his thing about reparations?
I don't care about half of that.
They
talk a lot. But no, ultimately, I do really like... I've liked a lot of things that Beto had to say and how he's come across. But, like I said, before the last podcast, she was playing a video where he made up a couple of stories of... what he specified as Trump supporters, Trump voters, who had come up after the last school shooting.
Oh, he was telling one of these stories.
To tell that they were willing to give up their weapons if it made their children safer. And how, you know, for him, it showed that we could cross party lines. There are things that are more important than red or blue team. And I didn't feel it to be genuine for the first time from him.
Can I tell you 1 second? Pause it for 1 second. Did you see the story about the quote-unquote Trump supporter who turned in his AR-15 to the local police?
Yes.
Yeah. I put those two stories in the same exact context because there happened to be a camera crew, a news crew, on site to see the quote-unquote Trump supporter giving up his quote-unquote assault weapon.
Just one, though.
To the police.
Just one time.
Because enough is, I'm using air quotes, nobody can see, but enough is enough. Right? Anyways, sure. I put that in the same context of what Beto O'Rourke is doing. And it's like trying to win political points.
Absolutely. At this point, and that's what I'm saying.
Playing on people's emotions.
So where the reason.com goes with it today is exactly that. It's, you want to go for a gun grab. You want to go for a,
You're not fooling anybody with that, by the way.
What is the term that they want to go? The buybacks.
Yeah.
The buyback
basically is another word for confiscation, right? Because it's a mandatory buyback.
Well, yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So if you don't sell your gun back, then...
How about no?
Yeah.
How about what did we say at the beginning? What was the four words you said at the beginning?
Shall not be infringed.
Shall
not. No, I'm telling you, man, that's the most important thing that nobody gets. Not nobody, but many people do not get. And it is the most important thing. This is the only way we're allowed to do this, Nick. We're not allowed to do this podcast unless... We have weapons to defend ourselves because, listen...
The First Amendment is nothing without the Second. The Second is nothing without the Fourth. The Fourth is nothing without the Fifth, etc., etc., etc.
These people... Here's another interesting fact. Another interesting cognitive dissonance. And that is the people that say, I support red flag laws, right?
Which are abhorrent and bullshit.
And I also support police, and police would never, ever infringe on our rights and come and confiscate guns because police are basically like Republicans. They are pro-gun people too. So the police are on our side, right?
In this instance, you're going to find more resistance out of a police force than willingness to follow that order.
Right. What you're going to find is the police are going to come take your guns, you goofballs. That is going to be, that is the armed force of the government. Yes, right. They are coming for your guns because you are not a person them.
And I'm glad you actually brought it this way because I sent you a link and we're going to post this as well on Tadatus.com, episode 29.
Or we'll cut this piece out and there'll be just a blank spot and you'll all know what's
There's
going
a
on.
Video that we're going to put in here and it is from the Pentagon to the, there's a specific acronym for the school. Ultimately, it's the military school for officers and commanders abroad when we're talking about the combat environment of the future. And the combat environment of the future, it keeps talking about, is your phrase of mega cities, referring to cities of populations in excess of 10 million.
So this is something the military is working on. This is a new strategy for how to fight in these environments.
Well, it was prepping them to understand
because it's a future war with Iraq or China or Iran.
Or when you watch the video and you see all the images, a lot of them are overseas, but a lot of them are not. A lot of them are.
Or you mean like New York or Houston or Los Angeles or Detroit or Chicago?
When we talk about affluent places, they specifically show there's a Smith and Wolinsky. In New York that they show, that restaurant happens to have a $57 prime rib for lunch.
That's it?
For lunch.
Yeah, I guess somebody's got it.
It talks about, it uses the words freely as far of, it interchanges the words of adversary and the foes and the people that we are fighting really simply interchanges every one of them from the foes and the adversaries to the people and the population.
Man, it is so easy to other people right now, right?
Yes.
Political
and
enemies.
This video just flat out says that we're trying to train our military for the event where they're going to have to come and take them from us.
Just doing their job.
Well, when we talked about this outside, the scariest part, the article I actually found this with, and it won't be posted, but the video will be posted. The article gave it an attack or a view that I was, it terrifies me. Let's just say that. I don't necessarily think it's 100% accurate, but it's valid, if that's a fair statement. It said, those of you that believe that you're patriots and that you're going to fight the military, you're ready for them to come rolling down your street with tanks and armed vehicles to try and take your weapons, that will never actually happen. Not that you wouldn't fight, and not really, it's that they don't have to come down the street to do that. In order to take your weapons, part of what they're trying to do under this mandatory buyback or this federal registration is we want to know, we being the government, wants to know who has what, so that when it comes time to come take it, we can come take it. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to fight you for it.
No, a registry is an infringement, by the
way. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Once we know what you have, if I tell you, I send you a letter that says you need to turn these over and you refuse, then the government freezes your bank account. And then your kids are coming home from school one day and CPS shows up and says, you can't have your children, you can't have them in your home because, one, you don't have any money, and two, you have weapons here and they're not safe. So in order to
I got a big problem with CPS, just generally speaking.
Oh, sure.
It's basically they can kidnap your kids. Right.
And if you
there's no like legal recourse.
Right,
it's like
you have to prove that you're CPS, not a piece of shit.
CPS is the red flag law of kidnapping kids, basically.
And at that point, they have your money and they have your children. I promise you, you cannot kill everybody to get your kids back.
No.
You'd have to give up your shit.
Yeah.
And then
make you comply at some point, right?
The forced compliance by nonviolence, if you will. And I was like, that's where all of this eventually leads. That's what that video.
It makes things like.
What makes it terrifying.
Well, that concept of the system being so powerful that they may not be able to catch you legally, right? They didn't catch you doing anything against the law, but they've got these other mechanisms, these other screws they can twist. Right,
that will get what they want.
It's kind of like if you ran a website that hosted, let's say, videos, right? A tube, if you will, of
sure.
videos, and you had a particular political point, and you wanted your political point to be more prominent on your website, and a particular other point to not be so. You could, you know, twist the screws, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying that could happen. It probably doesn't, because who would want that to happen? But things like that might happen, maybe. I don't know. That's why we need regulation, Nick. We need the government to regulate who can block political speech, because the government is only looking out for us, the people. Hold on, I almost threw up in my mouth. Right, sorry. That was gross.
All hail the robot overlords? What?
Oh, my goodness.
What did you just say?
Here's where we're going to end. This is the conversation we're going to end this podcast on. You ready? And that is on Trump. And what I said to you in the garage was thus, and that is that I hoped that Trump would do, would illuminate the United States to how ridiculous it is that we have a president and that we have ridiculously given this one human being this amount of power. This person should not have this amount of power. We should not be talking about the president every single day of every single week of every single month. We should not have a reality star president, right? We should have some guy who basically gets up there and says, I do not want any power. Please stop asking me to do stuff, right? This is your congressman that need to be writing laws. And basically, they shouldn't be writing that many laws because it should be the states that have the most power. And the states should give it down to the counties, and the counties should give it down. You know what I mean? That's how life should be in Josh Hatcher's America. The point is, Trump is a buffoon, right? The problem is half the people think he's a buffoon because he's on the other team, not because all presidents are buffoons and no human being should have that much power, right? Anyways.
The president should be equivalent to the Queen of England.
Less so.
Well, I mean,
The Queen of England can suspend Parliament. That's a thing that's happening right now.
Okay.
I mean, he should have veto power, which means he can
suspend Parliament.
No, he can say to Congress, "I'm not approving that bill." Like, president should sit there and veto all kinds of stuff. All that should be the most powerful thing they do.
Probably also read the bills, every single page of them.
No, I don't care. They should just veto all of them. No, I'm telling you, all the bills should just be vetoed. You know why? It should make it go back to a supermajority. Make those motherfuckers work for it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That being said, if everybody agrees on something, that's probably a really bad bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just finishing up the 9 presidents who screwed up America.
Yep, yep.
And one of the
number 9?
Obama, yeah. But Obama chapter talks a lot about basically both Bushes, a little bit of Clinton, you know, it talks about all of them and all of them kind of being the same thing. And then the guy who wrote the book, I listened to his podcast and he was doing a Q&A and it was like, is Trump considered a, and he's like, yeah, because he's in the same mold as all these other MFers. He didn't say MFers. He's a little more articulate than that. But yeah, he basically gives.
I mean, if I'm writing a book, I won't write MFers. I'd write
motherfuckers. He gives a couple, I guess head tilts, you know, hat nods to some presidents that do use their veto power in the right way. And I appreciate that, right? If Congress comes up with a goofy-ass bill. Basically, this all started with the progressive era of not Franklin Delano. What's the other Roosevelt? Teddy Roosevelt into Woodrow Wilson, into FDR, anyways, it's the whole thing. It's where it starts, is back in the progressive era where everything goes south. I don't know why I'm doing the last part of the show now, but the point of the story is that all the presidents are bad and veto power, veto everything. Trump's awful. Why don't we understand who Trump is, which is he's a buffoon. And basically we should say, listen, okay, let's do this. Here, I got a new idea. It just came up in my head right now, Nick. New idea for the president, all right? It is going to be a straight-up popularity contest,
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
All this person is going to do is basically just be like our number one ambassador. They have zero power whatsoever. All they're just the figurehead, right? We're gonna have a new American. We're gonna basically make an outfit that looks more ridiculous than the Pope's outfit. We're gonna have a more ridiculous hat.
Can he carry a heavyweight championship belt with him?
Potentially,
too?
You know what? That should be part of the costume.
On the shoulder.
Let's make it the most American costume ever. Which
red,
would
white, and blue.
It will include
it's a bald
some spandex.
Eagle.
Yeah, some bald eagle. It will involve a cape, of course, and a pro wrestling belt, the championship belt.
All gaudy gold with a big old American flag that actually spins.
Some kind of a crown. And this person, hopefully it's The Rock, because that's who I'm voting for, because
I think
he'd be the best at this. This person's going to get paid, I don't know.
Listen, his slogan's easy. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
That's right. I mean, he's going to win the first. But there's going to be more presidents down the road. But this person is going
to
get.
What if he passes the newest amendment that allows him to be president like 7 terms in a row?
No. We're going to set this government before this guy gets elected that he's not going to have any powers whatsoever. he's going to give speeches. He's going to go overseas. No, I'm telling you, this guy has no. This person, this individual is going to have zero power. He's just going to be a figurehead. I mean, less power than the Queen of England.
Like, he just goes on talk shows.
This person's going to have as much power as me, okay?
He goes on talk shows, talks to people.
Yes.
Does cameos.
Yes.
Picture opportunities.
Every one of them needs to have a catchphrase.
I need that to be
a registered catchphrase. Yeah,
registered trademark, absolutely.
And they get to make money off of all this. That's fine.
Well, hold on. Here's
I'll pay him $10 million
a
year.
After The Rock wins, can we actually get caricatures, if you will? Can we get Will Ferrell as Ricky Bobby to be the next president?
I'm moving for
that?
Anything. We could have a 6-person panel of rotating leaders of this great nation, which have no power. But which 3 of the 6 could have some kind of character, a caricature of a character, could be some kind of stereotype. I'm okay with that too. Really, there is no ceiling on this thing. I mean, I want to go full board with this, but have zero power. And maybe we can have a reality show about it. There could be some kind of music concert that is associated with this.
What if Trump actually, after his term, is then the one who like hosts or runs?
He could be the host.
The next president. The next celebrity president.
Holy shit, Nick. Holy shit. We just figured it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we told you this is the podcast to save the world.
We figured it out right here. And let's turn this thing off.
Hit
all right, ready?
Music. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, my friend. You nailed it. That is what we're doing.
So
Donald Trump is going to get elected to
the celebrity president. Who's the next celebrity president?
The next celebrity president, hosted by Donald Trump.
There it is. Perfect.
And he's also going to have, we're going to have the hologram made for him so that when he dies, he's always going to host it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
These guys are great. They're so great. Love them.
Nailed it. So what I'm into,
Jesus.
Josh, is actually not Jesus, but it is a parody of Jesus. The Righteous Gemstones on HBO is Danny McBride's newest show.
Rapist? Is he the rapist?
No, Danny McBride is Kenny Powers, Eastbound and Down.
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of somebody else.
No, so Danny McBride
is
the Righteous Gemstones.
Okay.
The family, they're televangelists.
Oh, boy, that sounds fun.
They have jets, private Lear jets. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Oh, nice.
It's perfect. It is perfect. That is what I'm into, Joshua. What are you into?
Oh, my goodness. I'm into the 9 presidents that screwed up America.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I'm just about finished with it, and it is. It's been really good. Brian McClanahan is the author, and I do listen to his podcast, and he is no holds barred. With regards to his view of the history, he calls people out when they're being goofy, and I mean he's good. He's one of the best that I've found, and that book is really, really good. It he's not necessarily a libertarian, but he's in the principle of think locally.
There you go.
Act locally.
There you go.
The concept of getting government down to the localist level. That's it. And so I really appreciate that. If it can't be like no government at all, I think that's the best way we should organize society.
And there you go, folks. We've saved the world tonight.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Josh, what are we going to do on the next podcast?
Same thing we do every night, buddy.
What is that?
Try and take over the world.